brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Larry Williams, your co-host, along with Dr. Richard Dent, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services, Behavior and Mental Health Services. I make sure I get that correct this morning. Happy Saturday. What's going on, guys? There's a lot going on. I mean, you know, this has been this year. You thought last year was
a doozy. 21.
This year starting out even worse. What can you say, Dr. Danforth? What's going on over with you and as we go around the table here and talk about the Trump riots and the vaccines and COVID-19 and Lot J and teachers raises and small businesses. It's a lot going on that our listeners need to know about. And we're going to try to spend this next hour informing and educating you guys about what's going on from our perspective. So, Dr. Danforth, what's happening?
Well, you highlighted a number of issues that we're going to discuss today, but I want to make certain that we talk some about the Neighborhood Bill of Rights and some of the efforts that we're making in terms of looking at how community engagement can improve some of the inner workings of the city government. We'll talk more about that. But what I really want to do is send a shout out to my homeboy up in Georgia, the new senator, Raphael Warnock, who has served as pastor for the past 15 years at the Atlanta church where Martin Luther King Jr. preached. I say he's my homeboy because his mother is from my hometown, Waycross, Georgia. On one of his caravans through South Georgia, I decided to go up to Waycross to hear him. And I tell you, I came by the bike excited for him because he demonstrated a lot of confidence. It's almost as though he felt strongly that he was going to win this and become the first African-American to senator in the great state of Georgia. And that's Reconstruction or Larry, is that forever?
No, that's period, Doc.
That's period.
And being from Georgia myself is, you know, not only to the newly elected senator, but to the people in Georgia. It was a threshold that many of us thought we'd never see. Especially back in the 50s and 60s, Doc, when we were marching and trying to just get the right to vote, get the right to attend desegregated schools, those things that are still prevalent in my mind today. This makes me very proud to be a Georgian and today and always. So, Jarman, what's going on your side?
All right. Good morning, team. Good morning to our listeners.
Good morning.
Just happy to be here to share again and just, I guess, touching on the recent riots at the White House is where I'll go. And it's just really appalling. And so, Lord help us, you know, with the effects that this is going to bring. And it just shows us that the struggle continues, you know, and there is a lot that needs to be changed in our government system. So I know we're going to get more into that later, but we have to, you know, remain encouraged in spite of all that and not let it fester in us and cause us to add to all the anger and the riotedness.
And the mental health issues associated with.
Well, that's a part of the effect. Yes, that's a part of the effects. Those mental health issues that were already there. Coming out of 2020, and now we have the attack on our own soil, domestic, you know.
I want to know
domestic
what
terrorism.
Kind of,
let's call it what it is. It's domestic terrorism.
That's the word. Domestic terrorism.
Yeah. What kind of drugs were those Spider-Men on that climbed? We'll talk more about that later, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. But you know, it's always it was a very surreal sight. Watching that unfold on television, you know, it was, I think it was probably was the most captivating TV since the O.J. Simpson Bronco ride.
Yeah, you see the bags under my eyes, you know, from watching what's happening in Washington and watching the city council meeting. About J.
I think that threw everybody off. I know that Larry, you and I, we were supposed to meet at the time that this was going on, and we were just like looking at the TV, like we cannot believe this is actually happening. That's all we can really talk about at that moment. So I think it just threw everyone off. You know.
I know we spent a half hour. We were supposed to be meeting a half hour. We spent a half hour, and by the time the half hour was up, we were like, "Oh, we haven't met yet." Okay, well, look, nobody's mind is on this right now. Let's just move on. We'll talk about this later.
Right, we had to
But you know, guys, you know, getting back to the surreal scenes of the Trump riots, and I'm going to call them that because that's what it was. That, you know, the president of the United States going down in D.C. and basically inciting a riot of followers in the cult that he's created follows him regardless, and you know, it's a shame on America and Americans, and especially those that are following someone who is, as some psychiatrists and other psychologists have said, a narcissistic behaviors. And we have to get to a point where, you know, what is it going to take to make sure if the president of the United States goes down and does this and basically throws his vice president under the bus and places him and the entire Congress into harm's way. What, you know, do we need to really, does Congress need to impeach him? Do they need to call for his resignation or all of the above? Because, right. You know, the president controls a lot of nuclear weapons and codes and things that could do harm to the United States. And it's apparent that his only motive is to, you know, provide more security for himself and something else to do after this his tenure is over, even though he's continually refused to acknowledge the newly elected president, Joe Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris.
Right. Should we even be asking whether he should be impeached? Should it even be a question? You know, should there even be a discussion? I mean, just based on the actions, it just appears to me that should just be the next move. Okay.
We can talk about what the next move should be. I'm not optimistic that anything will happen. Listen, the American people, we've known that our president has been unbalanced, you know, and we have a lot of
sugarcoated, Doc. He's more than unbalanced.
We've allowed him to continue, you know, as though he's Richie Rich or this little rich white boy that we've got to continue to stroke him. You know, we're hurting his feelings. You know, his feelings has been hurt, that people rejected him. And I'm saying, you never accepted us. I mean, the whole 4 years has been a foot on our necks.
Right.
Yep, or a foot or a knee, one or the other, and probably a combination of both, you know, as we go forward. It's disheartening. But, you know, other things, and one of the things that we have to make sure that we don't get too distracted by things we can't control. And, you know, but, John, I thought, you know,
Yeah, but Larry, what happens when it's local? This is in Washington, D.C., okay?
Okay.
What about right here
in Jacksonville? Let's take a quick music break and get back. You know, this is the Empowerment Hour. Larry Williams along with Dr. Danford and Jarman Leitner. We'll be back after this music selection. Enjoy.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
I don't want to keep on singing and keep sinning. I don't want to live for you and not see you in the end. I don't want to know your name. You not know much before I get to the gate. Please hold me close. Please hold me close. Now I don't want to keep on preaching and not believing. Now I don't want to keep on running, tripping over my sin, myself. I don't want to know your name, Jesus. And you not know much before I get to the gate. Please hold me close. Don't let me go. Hold me close. In your loving arms, tell me that you love me. Tell me that you care. Oh, I'll stay by your side because I know you're near and you're everywhere. Oh, please hold me, yeah. Hold me close. Wrap me in your arms and never let me go. Hold me close. Whatever you do, Lord, don't let me go. Hold me close. God, I will stay by your side. Hold me close. God, I know that
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth and Jarman Leitner. And we're here on another Saturday morning. Hope you got a cup of coffee or some breakfast or something. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. This past week, in the first segment, we talked about all of the calamity and things that went on earlier this week in Washington, D.C. But more closely to home, guys, we're talking about the vaccines and COVID-19. But I had there was one site during that day of television that was so riveting. John, we recalled in our conversation, there was a hot dog stand there taking advantage of. I mean, some people are really astute at getting their messages out and getting their brands identified. What was the name of it? It was company Nathan. That had their stand?
It was Nathan's Hot Dog.
Nathan's Hot Dog. Don't give them a plug. Because anybody can pull a cart down there and place it strategically where it was continually shown on television to the world.
Yes, during a riot.
I want to go Nathan Hot Dogs, Doc.
Oh gosh!
But you know, vaccine, what's going on there in Jacksonville, John, with the COVID? The numbers and what's going on? Is it? I know across the country and yesterday and the day before and the day before, each day we set new records of deaths in the United States and across the country in various states. This is getting to be more. Tragic than we anticipated.
Well, locally, Larry, in Duval, the positive cases are up to about 68,000, and then the deaths are almost at 800, at 767 deaths in Duval alone. But for Florida, they're up to about 1.4 million positive cases and 22,000 deaths. So, like you said, the deaths continue to increase. And it was a couple of days ago we hit the highest day nationwide of recorded deaths due to COVID-19. And we also see these variants of COVID-19 as well. And there are also talks about possible vaccines for that too. But I know we wanted to talk about the current vaccines and who is now able to schedule to go get those vaccines. Isn't that right, Larry?
Yes. And right now, there's the it was announced today that the vaccines will be available on a first come first served basis for vaccines next Monday, starting with this coming Monday for Duval seniors, and there'll be two Jacksonville senior centers will be used to provide those vaccines, and that means that seniors 65 and above can get those shots that they haven't identified. Well, the vaccines will be given by appointment at Prime Osborne Convention Center, but on demand at these other sites in Mandarin and on the west side. They're not showing exactly where those places are, but you do have to make an appointment, provide a photo ID that confirms your birthday
and
Duval County residency.
Yeah, man, there are so many protocols. We're so confused. Stand in this line. I'm saying, why don't we just go over to Publix when we go over to buy groceries? You don't have to get an appointment. And if you want to have your shot administered, they'll do it for you. That sounds
is that for seniors or is that
anybody six or anyone 65 and older?
Okay. All right.
I would rather go to a Publix than to go stand in line or burn up all my gas trying to get this shot. But for me personally, I received an email from the Veterans Administration, and what they're doing, they sent out an email. If you are 75 years of age or older, and you have certain ailments, and they list some of them, diabetes and some of the other things wrong with you, then you're in the database. They will actually send you an appointment time and date
for you to go down and take yours. I think that's more control. I think that's less stressful. And I want to commend the VA and Lease for making an effort to get all of the veterans covered if that's their sole desire. Okay.
All right. So for our veterans,
okay. And that's great for the veterans 75 and older. But let me give you these sites where you know the rest of us can go. The Mandarin Senior Center, 3848 Hartley Road. And Lane Wiley Senior Center, 6710 Wiley Road. So those are the two locations that starting Monday, if you're 65 and over, you can go and make an appointment and go down and get your COVID vaccine. So that's a good thing. It's just some beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel, Dr. Danford, and it's not the train coming.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
And they didn't on those first come, first serve bases, Larry, they didn't report how many vaccinations they had, correct? They didn't say, you know, when
they I think, John, that with the reluctance of a lot of folks they're not having any problems with the folks that are showing up to get the vaccine. There are many people in our community that are not going to take the vaccine for many reasons, and we won't delve into all of those reasons. But, you know, historically, Black folks in America have had adverse effects and effects with the vaccines that have been produced in our country, and it's a shame that we have to have that reluctance and fear of our safety in taking these vaccines. So I just urge everyone to do what you feel is right for yourself and you. Right. Everybody has to make individual and independent decisions on whether they're going to take the vaccine or not. And it shouldn't be, forced on anyone. I don't think that mandatory vaccinations are in line right now. I think that number one, there's still a lot of questions about the vaccine. There's been a lot of reports that the vaccine is producing, and I'm just telling you guys what the truth is. Now you can just take it for what you want, do your own research. But there's been a lot of adverse effects from this vaccine as it's being administered across the country. So again, do your due diligence and research and make up your own mind about whether you're going to take it or not. I'm not going to say one way or another that whether I'm going to take it or not, but my deal, I'm probably not going to take it until we get some more information on.
Well, Larry, you mentioned reluctancy with the vaccine, and we also see locally some reluctancy with the Lot J project still, Dr. Danford. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, do we have time?
The reluctancy. Well, you have time for probably a quick summary, and then we'll come back to it. Give us a brief synopsis of what's going on.
Well, it's a synopsis. I don't know about a synopsis, but let me make a few points. And we've been talking about community engagement and transparency in our city government. And to this date, we really have no transparency. And I'm not knocking the Lot J deal, but I think that it's absurd for city council people to consider funding something of this magnitude without city engagement, without involving the city. And I've asked the state attorney if she would give us a ruling on whether the Neighborhood Bill of Rights ordinance is valid or not, because for the last 25 years, we've had it, and we have not honored that, the Neighborhood Bill of Rights. But we need an opportunity for the public to have input when we're spending the kind of money that we're talking about for Lot J.
Absolutely, Doc. And it's a shame that as I'm looking at as I said, this week has been packed with different types of announcements. But, the headlines from controversial Lot J project is nearly a done deal, Doc. And it says final vote expected Tuesday. So
I wouldn't say it's a done deal. I'm saying they need on Tuesday, the council will decide, will vote on this deal.
And but they need 13 members to agree to it out of the 19.
Yes. And with that, I think we're going to go to a break here and hear some more excellent music. You know, I really enjoy these musical selections between the segments. So this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. Dr. Richard Danforth, Jonathan Leitner, and Larry Williams.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Your worship all over this room.
The God of miracles, signs and wonders, we believe in your power. We believe in your power. You're the God
of miracles,
signs.
Signs and wonders,
we believe
in your power.
Lord, we
God of signs and wonders,
we believe.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and our special guests from the Duval County Public School Board, the new vice chairman of the board, two first names, Gerald Willie. Welcome back, man. We missed you last
Happy
week.
New so.
Happy yeah. New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's good to be missed.
We haven't seen you in about 2 weeks.
Feels good to be missed out here. Feels good to be missed sometimes. No, it's great to be on. Happy New Year to everyone on the call and everyone listening. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Good. So we had a lot of things that we're talking about with the school district and with the kids and things. I want to start it off, and I know Dr. Danforth and Jarman have some questions of their own, but I wanted to talk about the teacher raises. First off, and I understand that the incoming, the new teachers will be getting a significant boost as they come into the Duval County Public Schools. And I understand that some of the veteran teachers are a little bit upset about that. What's going on there, Darryl?
Yeah, so every time we have conversations, the union negotiates bargains, kind of a lot of that. And the governor basically allotted money for teachers, kind of new teachers to kind of get that raise, but did not necessarily allot the same amount for everyone. So what we're doing right now is kind of getting everybody up to that certain amount. What that does is it kind of pushes those new teachers up towards some of those veteran teachers, it's not the most fair thing and the best possible situation, but you have to take it piece by piece and you got to take it how it is. So we're going to take this and hopefully we can come back to the table and get those veteran teachers raises too. But you got to do one. You're never going to have enough money to do everything, but this gets us in a really good spot with our new teachers, helps with recruitment a lot, helps to bring everybody up to a scale that we believe is going to help us to kind of get us going in the next 3-5 years or so.
So ladies, ladies first.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
When we say new teachers, is that first-time teacher or just new to the district?
That's anybody that's at that range around 39 is where it was, like that new teacher salary. So anybody who sits right there is going to get bumped up to at least that minimum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it can be significant. If you're brand new and are sitting right at that 39.5 or whatever, it's definitely going to boost you up a pretty good bit. But it gets you where it needs to be. Like if you look across the state, we're probably one of the lowest when it comes to that. So it actually, we were losing a lot of people because they were picking and choosing other districts because we weren't up to that. So it's we're at a good spot now. So like I said, 39.5 was that number where it was. They'll be bumped up to 45.891. That's like pre-tax. So that's a significant raise. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to also come back and be able to do the same for our veteran teachers. But what we don't understand is that these salaries are salaries, but a lot of teachers, we also have to talk about the other pieces. Their incentive pay, if you take an assessment and your students do well and you get enough growth. So there's a lot of things that happened this year that folks aren't necessarily getting their incentive because we didn't have testing. So there's a lot of factors that play into it. And that's why veteran teachers are a little bit frustrated. And I get it. I understand. Because you don't have some of those supplements that you usually have that give those veteran teachers those bumps.
Okay. Dr. Danforth, you had a question?
No, he answered my question.
Oh, good. Okay, so we can go and talk about the vaccines and should the teachers move up on the list of essential workers for the vaccine, Darryl, is that something that you all are discussing? Or is that something that's above you guys' purview?
No, we'll definitely lobby for it. I don't know if we have too much say. I think it's definitely they're looking out for frontline workers and the elderly. And we actually, I don't know if we all know, but 65 and older DCPS staff members got a chance to get vaccinated. Now it's in sort of high demand, so it's going to be even harder for that to kind of come back around. But that's our goal, is to kind of push our folks up to the top of that list whenever we can. Of course, we understand hospital workers and folks like that, but we know teachers are on those front lines too. So we want to try to start with our eldest and most at-risk folks and kind of move down that list to try to get everybody the opportunity to do it. if they want to. There's some people who still they don't want to do it. And that's been an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah. And when we discussed that earlier about the general population having reluctance of taking the vaccine but the main thing that we're talking about here are the teachers. You know, personally, I don't think that the teachers should be placed with the hospital workers and first responders, you know, but that's my own personal opinion. I think that teachers should fall in line with, the rest of the community as far as how they're being inoculated and vaccinated with the COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you have.
I think that teachers should be right along with the essential workers. I mean, because they are essential and they're there daily, Monday through Friday, taking care of kids who might have been in and out of clinics and hospitals dealing with essential workers there. So I believe they should be right along with the top.
If that's the case, then everybody should be on the essential list, John, because we are all interacting with people around the community.
That's what I don't.
German. I don't care where you be. But the bottom line is that they shouldn't be any more ahead of the line than me and Dr. Damp.
I think they have greater exposure to be at home.
And
the teachers have a choice too. They can teach from home.
Not anymore. Not with about 80% being in the
They can do virtual teaching if they object to going into the classrooms.
We're
talking about that, but we can't even get the vaccines that have been produced out to the people to get them. So we're arguing about who's going to get it. Well, we got the vaccine, but we can't get it to them because of the crap that we're going through in this country. It is just absurd what is happening.
You're absolutely right. When only 4.5 million people have been inoculated, vaccinated with, and there are 20 million vaccines available.
Where are those vaccines, Larry? Where are those vaccines?
Who knows?
Larry's probably selling them out of his trunk.
There are people, I'm sure I bet you there's some folks that got the vaccines in their refrigerators. I mean, in their freezers, okay? I know they have to be at a certain temperature and all that. But who knows when you're selling them on the corner? Hey, man, you want a vaccine?
Oh, God.
really? Have we gotten to that point already?
I don't think it's that. I just think we don't have a good plan.
It may get to that point.
Witness what happened in Washington.
Witness what happened at the Capitol. So yes, anything can happen in this.
You're right.
Okay, I tell you what. All of that is good. But at the end of the day, if anybody offers you a vaccine that's not frozen, don't take it. If it's out of Dr. Damper's trunk or Darryl's trunk or Jarvis' trunk, don't buy it. Don't take it because it's no good.
That's a good public service announcement right there.
500 vaccines just out of spite. He just left them out there that they could erode. So, Darryl, thank you for hopping on again. We always appreciate you.
Let me ask you, Darryl, can he stay on? Because we're going to talk about the entrepreneur program and maybe Darryl can give us some insight in terms of what's happening over with their program with Show Me the Money. Let's go get the money.
We still kind of get that money.
So anyway, we're gonna
come back after this segment. We'll be back. This is Praise 107.9 FM, The Empowerment Hour with Dr. Damper, Jarman Leitner, and Darryl Willey. We'll be back in the next segment with the Small Business Entrepreneurs Corner.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9. The new Praise 107.9.
May we have your attention because
let me tell you about a man who knows all of
my flaws, but still loves me. Let me introduce you to this man, who won't ever bring your past up again.
If you're not too busy,
do you have a minute to list about the one who can replace all that's missed?
I can't really put it in the words, but that's just,
there's just something about me.
I don't know everything, but I know this.
I know that I cannot live without him.
We want to tell you about him. He's our healer.
He's my healer.
Jehovah Rapha.
My savior.
My way maker.
My way maker.
Strong tower.
My strong tower.
But most importantly,
and he gave his life for me.
His
name is Jesus.
Jesus.
So sweet.
Sweet Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
I've met a lot of great people, but I realize
there's nobody like Jesus.
Nobody like Jesus. Because when I'm sick, he's my healer.
He's my healer.
Drowning in my sins.
My savior.
Waymaker,
my joy.
I didn't have a job,
my provider,
but he provided for me.
My strong tower,
but most
and he
importantly,
gave his life.
He gave his life for me.
There's only one name.
His name is Jesus.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Sweet Jesus.
There's nobody.
There's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody.
Nobody, Lisa.
Sweet
Jesus.
I've met a lot of great people, but I realize there's nobody like Jesus.
There's nobody like
Come on,
Jesus.
Lisa.
Oh, ain't nobody like Jesus.
Nobody.
Like Jesus. I remember my grandmama told me he'll be a friend for the friendless.
Yeah.
He'll be a company keeper. In the midnight hour,
yes,
and every time I have a burden that I can't seem to bear, I found out that I can call on Jesus.
There's nobody like Jesus.
If you call his name,
Jesus,
your body can be healed,
Jesus,
your soul can be saved. Nobody like him.
Nobody like Jesus.
At the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
every knee must bow.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Damper, Jarman Leitner, Daryl Willie from the Duval County Public Schools, and our special guest this morning. And he'll be a regular a guy here and coming on the Empowerment Hour, talking about small businesses and especially the Jacksonville Urban League's entrepreneur program. And welcome to the show, Bean. And congratulations on being named the new director, I believe, of the Empowerment Center over there at the Jacksonville Urban League. So happy to see you in that seat. And we're looking forward to some great things from you as the year moves on and helping our small businesses become successful and sustainable. Welcome.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much for inviting me to your radio program. Looking forward to working with you as the months ahead to let our community know about the services that we're providing at the Center for Economic Empowerment here at the Jacksonville Urban League. We're very excited about that.
All right. So Bing, tell us a little bit more about the entrepreneurship program, and you know what participants may need to be eligible to sign up.
Okay, great. Well, just to give you a little bit of an overview of the center and the programs that are provided, the Jacksonville Urban League's Center for Economic Empowerment provides training services aimed at supporting small business owners to enable them to grow their business. The training is provided at no cost to anyone who participates, and it's focused at individuals who are current business owners, as well as individuals who are interested in starting a business. So you don't have to be a current business owner to participate in the program. The areas of training that we provide include, but are not limited to a list of areas that I'll cover right now. How to start a business plan, how to write a business plan, the different types of business ownership, and that's more geared to individuals who are interested in starting a business. Oftentimes, an individual does not know exactly what type of ownership they would like to register their business in, i.e., whether you want to be a sole proprietor, whether you want to register your business as an LLC, or if you want to be a sub-S corporation or a partnership. So those are the type of areas that we will cover with the individual and the benefits of each types of ownership. We will also help the participant to write a marketing plan. You know, as Larry will attest to, that is one of the most important part of running a successful business, is coming up with a viable marketing plan where you can reach your targeted customers. Because if without customers, you don't have a business. We will help.
Absolutely.
We will help the client develop a financial plan. That's equally as important. You have to know where your revenues are coming from and where your expenses are going to. You know, at a minimum, as a business owner, the worst you want to do is break even, you know, and that's after generating enough money to pay yourself. Okay. We will help the client with tax planning. Okay. Again, a part of running the business is controlling your expenses. And one very important aspect of running a business is making sure that you have the correct tax planning. It's just like your personal finances. It's extremely important to have proper tax planning for your business. We will teach our clients how to work with QuickBooks so they can keep track of their revenues and expenses. We will provide credit counseling for our business owners because oftentimes our businesses require funding. And as a business owner, when you go to a bank or any lending institution to get a business loan, oftentimes the ability to get that loan is dependent on your credit score, your personal credit score as the business owner. So we will help in doing credit counseling to increase your credit score. We will assist in preparing loan applications. Last year, we assisted more than 20 small business owners to get over $700,000 in total PPP loans. So there's a new batch of PPP loans that will be coming out between now and March 31st. So we can assist our clients, our business owners, to apply for that new round of PPP loans. And in addition to developing a marketing plan, we assist our clients to develop social media marketing programs. Again, that is a new way of reaching customers. All of our coaches are experts in their fields. Many of them, we have CPAs, we have attorneys, we have individuals who've owned and operated business for more than 20 years. So the coaches and the training that the clients receive are from experts in their respective field. to participate in the program, the phone number is 904-723-4010. That's 904-723-4010. Or you can email jfegin@jacksul.org, and that's jfegin@jacksul.org. I know that's a lot that I've covered, but as Larry said, I will be on a weekly basis to continue communicating with the Duval County public to let them know these services are being provided through the Jacksonville Urban League Center for Economic Empowerment and how they can go about accessing these services.
Hey, Bing, very, very good update there. Can you speak quickly before we run out of time in terms of partnerships with collaborations with some of the other entities that are providing similar services and how we want to really get more bang for the buck? So, I mean, we can't do everything, but it seems that if we all come together and discuss some of how best to work with these clients and how best to improve these businesses. And I think if we come together, we can do a better job at that. And we're reaching out. We're asking for others to join us. Can we join you and get this out to our constituents?
Absolutely, Dr. Danford. We are working with local agencies that provide small business training services as well. And as we cement these relationships, we will advertise. But basically, what we're trying to do is to get partnerships with entities that can focus on areas of expertise. So where we provide where we are experts in a specific area, we would focus on those areas, and our cooperating partners can focus on the areas that they do best, i.e., we would hope to work with at least one lending institution where they can focus on loan application and loan processing.
Okay, Bing, thanks for that update. And we're going to have you on, as you said, weekly. So we'll be able to delve into these, hopefully, individually on the marketing, on the tax planning, loans, and that sort of thing. But this is Praise 107.9, and I thank you for coming on. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford at the Urban League, Jarman Leitner over at Harvard's Behavior and Mental Health Services, Daryl Willie, two first names, from the Duval County Public Schools, and Bing, Bingham Parkinson, who's the new director over at the Jacksonville Urban League Entrepreneur Center. So thank you all. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in again on the Empowerment Hour. We always love you guys and look forward to visiting with you again next Saturday morning and every Saturday morning on the Empowerment Hour. Dr. Danford Jarman, we got closing words. Peace.
Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Hey, listeners, love you guys. See you next week.